Hi, everybody. This is our half day virtual retreat, our loving kindness retreat. And this is part two. And it is still St. Patrick's Day. So welcome back. I know that was a short break. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for just taking a short break. So much I want to share with you. So where we got before the break, everything he wants on the other side of fear. Fear happens in those microwaves, in those writ large ways, in our companies, in our world, and how we relate to team and how we think of ourselves. It's both what we push away, those others around us, that is inside ourselves as well. And what if we could change that, like the monks in the forest with this antidote to hatred and fear and anger, and lean in with loving kindness. And as Yvonne summarized it so well, it's like, when I have this, when I have this quality of loving kindness, I am not in fear. It's not where I dwell. It's not where I live. It's the antidote. So so I wanted to share with you, well, what is this practice of metta then? What is this practice? How do we do this? And I will explain it to you briefly, and then we're actually going to do it together. And we can do this as a formal meditation practice. You meditate and you say particular words and it changes the world. And I also use it. I'm driving in traffic, somebody cuts me off, and it pops into my head immediately, because I've practiced it for probably nearly 20 years now, right? So it's a powerful, powerful practice. I've been given many practices by many teachers, and this is the one that I've retained for, like, since my daughter was small. Because it changes everything. So let me tell you first how metta meditation works. It's basically, we send loving kindness to ourselves and the world. The mechanism is very simple. And it's so outwardly simple that we don't do it. Like, that's nice, and we don't do it. Or it's so outwardly simple that we think it's not going to work, so we don't do it. Or it's so outwardly simple, and then we don't notice the effects, and so then we stop. But I promise you, and I very rarely use that word, I don't throw that word around, this practice has transformed lives. So, it starts bringing a deep kindness to ourselves first. So we start by, remember I said, like, if we could have those circles of what's acceptable to us, what we can include in our circle, what we can embrace, it starts here. And the metta meditation does that. It starts from with us, and then it moves out to larger and larger circles to the world. And Sharon Salzberg, she was my first and primary teacher of this. I've never even met the woman, but read her books. I think she's amazing. I listened to her tape. I got a tape of hers many years ago. I listened to it over and over in my vehicle, like countless times, I can't tell you, as I was driving everywhere. And she tells this story I think it was maybe on the tape, might be in Loving Kindness book as well. She practiced the meditation. We start with ourselves. And she was at a retreat where she practiced only that for an entire week. And then they were going to do the next one, and then the next one each week. It was only for herself. She thought, is it just for me? I'm going to practice a thing that's just for me. That's not very big. That's not very important. Okay, I'll get to the real stuff about connecting with others later. So she did this practice only for herself for a week. And then she got called away and couldn't stay for the rest of the month. So she practiced this metta meditation for herself for a week, and didn't see any change happening. And it's just like, what am I even doing? This is selfish. This is stupid. Like, that's the kind of thoughts are running through her mind, right? And then she was just about to leave. And I can't remember what she dropped. She dropped like some soap or dropped something, right? And the immediate thought that came into her mind was, you're such a klutz and I love you. She's like, whose voice is that? Because, you know, she usually has this condemning, awful voice inside her, like we often have, that editor that doesn't serve us. So it came up as, you're such a klutz and I love you. Like, who's talking? Nothing was apparently happening. And her internal makeup was completely changing in a way that she didn't even know was happening. So don't need to look for the evidence too soon. This practice is super powerful and deceptively simple. So, and I have some mugs to tell you how it works. So I've been doing this practice with Marie. Like I said, the first time was the week-long retreat in 2011 with Marie. And it changed so much for her and for her family. And her daughter is a beautiful artist. And because we'd done this meditation together, she created these amazing, beautiful mugs, which are now sold at least across Western Canada and probably elsewhere. Maybe her family did, but I got the first ones or the next ones after her family many years ago. I have many of them in my cupboard, and they say the words of the loving kindness meditation. Let me show you them. And they come in different forms too. That's a beautiful artist. All right. So the words of the meta meditation via Marie's daughter, Emma. May I be safe. Don't worry, we'll say these lots of times, and if you don't get them down, don't worry, there's the recording. May I be peaceful, happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Thank you for these, Marie. Thank you, Emma. Say hi to her for me and give her a hug. All right. So such beautiful, beautiful physical representation of this meditation. There's many ways that these words are recited. These are the ones that I like. Sometimes I say, may I be free from danger. I don't want to be repeating about danger all the time. You know, right? May I be safe. But may I be safe. May I be peaceful, happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And when we do the meditation, you can do it as a formal seated meditation. You can spend 5 minutes doing it. You could. This is a great practice to do at the end of your day. Take 5 minutes over it. Watch your life change. But don't be like Sharon Salzberg. It's like, this is, you know, or just do it and don't think about it. And then the change happens, right? So we say these words first for ourselves. In the tradition, we say it for ourselves. And then we say it for a loved one. And then in these increasing circles, then we say the words for a neutral person. Then we say these words for somebody traditionally known as the enemy. You don't have to pick the person who harmed you the most, okay? And then the world. There's different ways that we can draw those circles in this meditation, but we start with ourselves. And Marie, can I tell them what you did in 2011 with this when you first began? All right. So the words are, may I be safe, may I be peaceful, happy, may I be healthy, may I live with ease. And let me tell you first what happened with me. There were such things happening in my life 20 years ago. I was afraid for my daughter. So all I could do, the teacher that taught me, I said the words only for myself and my daughter, and I couldn't even go past that. And I did that for a year, an entire year, life changing. And then when Marie began in 2011, there was so much going on in her life that she said, Michelle, there's all these words, may I be safe, may I be peaceful, happy. She decided to stay. Was it for the entire week, Marie? I think it was, wasn't it? For the entire week of what we're doing in an afternoon. We did an entire week long version. Thank you for this, Yvonne. Words are in the chat. She just went with the first phrase, may I be safe, an entire week long. I know I can say this because I've heard it from you so many times, Marie. Changed your life. Was that too overdramatic? I mean, do you want to say anything? No. Do you want to say anything about that? Just a sentence or two?
Well, I hadn't realized how unsafe I had felt in the world until that retreat. And it actually took going back to the same retreat center a second time to realize that I felt safe there. It was quite profound.
Hmm. And we can feel unsafe in all kinds of ways. Like, oh no, that person is going to wreak havoc in my, like to give Jonathan's example, in my company, now people aren't going to get along well. And so now it's good, right? All that is connected in very everyday ways. So we say them, you don't have to conjure up a feeling. You just say the words like they're there in a spoon and you're just holding the words there, right? I don't know, you're just holding the words. You simply say them. And you can decide the pace, and you can do like Marie did or like I did. There's not just one way to do this. And when somebody cuts me off in traffic, it just comes up automatically for me now. May you be safe. May you be peaceful, happy. It's like, and it forms a different mind in us. Instead of like, what the, you know, separation. It's a practice. If you just hear about this and don't do anything, it won't do anything for you other than maybe uplift you right now. But you could take 5 minutes at the end of your day. Where will you be a month from now if you did 5 minutes at the end of your day doing this? How And there's another story that I want to tell you again for the why of it, because we'll do it for a little while here. But what I'm hoping you'll do is you'll keep doing this. This will do something, but if you keep doing it, that's where you'll get the huge results. And then we'll do a little bit of this together. All right. So there's another story that Sharon Salzberg tells about. There was a man, and he had his ex-business partner, and it was really acrimonious. It was really bad. I don't remember the details of what was happening. And they were coming to a meeting, and it was scary. Ever been in that situation? Somebody you got to talk to, and it's not easy, like not at all easy. And so this man was practicing the loving kindness meditation, and he used as his enemy, right? The one that, who's harmed us, the one that's difficult, the difficult person is the way I like to think of it, this ex-business partner. He barely said anything. They walked into the meeting, and usually it was instant fire. And the guy's like, hey, what's changed? And all his defenses were down. The other guy, we can't control what other people are doing. Stuff's still going to happen around us. But can you imagine how he was walking in before? And then he chose him as his difficult person, and he kept sending him loving kindness over and over and over again. Then he walks into the meeting. The meeting is entirely different. If that makes sense to you, raise your hand. Are you hearing the power of this? Actually change the meeting. And then, you know, it also tells us about ourselves too, like picking a neutral person. Who do you love? Who's close to you? You know, I not only chose my daughter, but I often chose my daughter, you know, easy to love, right? I started this when she was very little, so easy to love. A neutral person. Maybe it's hard to find a neutral person. You either love people or hate people. It teaches you about yourself. I chose the bank teller when I used to go to the bank. Those days I used to go to the bank. I didn't feel good or bad about them. I just saw them at the bank. Somebody saw regularly. And the difficult person, I often used to choose my ex. We get along really well right now. Actually, he's coming over on Sunday to help me do some stuff. Like, just part of it was this loving kindness meditation. He didn't have to be doing anything. Things changed. It's our personal lives. It's our company lives. All right. So, and with somebody who had chosen like a grocery store clerk or whatever said, you know, this neutral person, all of a sudden it's like they were neutral before, but it's like they almost turned into like a secret love affair with this, you know, grocery store clerk or whatever, because all of a sudden you do this and you find it, not because you're trying, but you can't say those words over and over again and not start to be connected, right? So when you say someone else, you change the pronoun to match them. So may I be safe, may I be peaceful, happy, etc. And then when I'm doing it for Dana, for my daughter, for instance, it's like, may you be safe, may you be peaceful, happy. And then you bring to mind that next person, the neutral person, and so on. You can do any piece of this. You could stop just with the words, may I be safe. You can play with this. And I want to do this together so you actually have the experience of it. Any burning questions without which we can't go forward, either about why we would bother doing this, I hope I got that, or confusion about how, or it's like, Michelle, I'm here to grow my company. I don't see any of that going on, but in case, you know. Heidi?
Just for me, I stopped. Peaceful, comma, happy? Like, is it or peacefully happy? I guess I want to hear what the intention is.
Yeah. So I hear it like peaceful, comma, happy. I want both of those things, right? Okay. And these words, if you look up love and kindness meditation, metta meditation, you'll hear many different variations. This is the one that I love that, you know, is, you might not ever find anywhere other than here. So you can choose your own words. You could say, may I be, you could choose your own words, right? But something like this is quite traditional, right? Something like these sentiments. Any other burning questions? All right. So I'm going to talk you through this. And, so sit in a comfortable position. We're just going to do this for a short while. So you get the feeling of this. And remember, there's nothing special you need to do. You don't have to conjure up a feeling. Just let the words drop in like rain. And I'm going to give you some pieces that set it up, but you could just close your eyes and launch into the words. There isn't a special way of doing it. You just go ahead and do it. And again, I suggest like it's a great way to end your day. Start your day with Shavasana 5 minutes. End your day with this. Watch your life change. Right? So closing your eyes. Sitting in a comfortable position, let your feet be grounded so you can feel the earth beneath you. Anywhere where you're touching the seat beneath you, just feel grounded there. And out of that groundedness, extend. So open the heart center, the spine extending, feel a crown of the feel a string pulling the crown of the head to the sky so that you are upright. Shoulders roll back and down. Place the hands just comfortably somewhere on your thighs so that the elbows hang right beneath the shoulders. So the arms are at ease. That's the most important part. I want your arms at ease. Palms up, palms down. I don't care. Scan the body for any tension. Where you find tension, breathe into that spot and let it go. Relax the face. Relax the jaw. Relax the space between the eyebrows. Let the forehead be smooth. Relax the tongue. Let the eyes sink back toward the back brain, allowing the mind to become quiet. And in this quiet place, just notice what's in your heart center now. Without pushing and pulling, just notice what is without judgment. Just see what feeling there is in your heart center right now. Just notice. No judgment. And then any feelings of negativity, any feelings of unworthiness or blame or anything that doesn't feel good, just with each exhalation, just let it go. It's not needed right now. Bless it, let it go. And then let it be replaced by feelings of loving kindness. Letting that arise in your heart center in whatever way it does. The way it does for you is perfect for you. There's not a wrong way to do this. It's perfect for you. Feelings of love and compassion, open-heartedness, just allow that to enter into your heart center. And know that, like all beings everywhere, you have the right to be happy. It's normal and good for you to have that feeling. It's your birthright to know your value, to know your worth, to know that you are born worthy. Breathe that in. That loving kindness for yourself, first of all. And in this quiet place, you can just let the words that I say out loud here drop in like rain for you. Say it quietly, silently to yourself. The words of loving kindness. May I be safe. May I be peaceful, happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then bringing to mind someone who's easy to love. Sometimes it's an animal or grandparent or small child. Dear friend, take the first person that comes to mind, easy to love. See them there before you, know that like you, they deserve to be well, to have happiness, to feel worthy, to feel loved. That these desires in them are right and natural and good. See them before you. And for them, say the words of loving kindness. May you be safe. May you be peaceful, happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And just noticing whatever's in your heart center now. Embracing whatever's arisen in you is perfect and good. Your perfect practice. And slowly, gently, you can open your eyes. First off, do you feel the energy in the room if you're sensitive to energy? What are you noticing? Yeah, some of you are nodding. If you don't, that's fine too. But some of you are going, oh. What are some words to describe it? Those of you who are nodding, what are you feeling in the room?
Peaceful.
Peaceful.
Calm.
Calm. Good. What else? A couple more words. Diane.
Just a lighter energy.
Lighter. Thank you. So that was a couple of minutes. What if you walked into your next business meeting with that energy? I'm going over to the tactical, and then I want to come back to just do it to do it. Don't do it for the purpose of something. Just do the practice. But I want you to notice the effects, right? It will help encourage you to do this. All right. I wanted to, we'll do kind of the second half of it in a moment, but I wanted to do those first pieces. Remember, Marie, for an entire week, stayed with the first line of the first person herself. So we're moving quickly here, actually. I just want to hear from you one or two things about, you know, ahas, what are your experiences? All is welcome. Heidi.
Michelle, I had a question. You said something important, and that to just say the words and not conjure up a feeling. Mm-hmm. And that I wanted to ask you about that because so many times in terms of the learning and the visualization and manifestation, the conversation is usually go into the future, the emotion of the desire fulfilled, and that the feeling is what's important. But you made the point that it's not about the feeling, it's the power of the words. So I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, thank you for noticing. That's a very astute question, right? Detailed question. And it comes from the practice of the other pieces that we've done, right? So yes, when we're visualizing, and I've taught that before, and you can find that out there in the world too. Like, what does it actually feel like? You got a vision board, you don't feel anything, whatever. You know, it's like how it's, or sometimes you're feeling the opposite. So yes, when you're envisioning, that's what I encourage you to practice. And then you go, but Michelle, this is the opposite. Well, story is filled with paradox. Paradox creates possibility, right? Our lives are multi-layered. And I'm teaching this to you the way that it's traditionally taught. So I didn't make this up. That is a traditional part of the teachings. And here's my understanding and experience of it. When we do this practice, it's just my experience. And we try too hard. We try to conjure up a feeling like, oh, maybe may I be safe? And am I feeling safe? And all kind of head stuff, you know? And I think to me, what happens is as we simply trust the words and hold them there, the words themselves carry power, and I trust in their power. I trust in their efficacy. I trust in the practice that has been practiced for I don't know how many years and centuries and millennia, probably, that there's a cumulative energy and practice of this that simply works, and that the trust itself, I think, is a part of the effect of this. I'm sure there's scientists who've studied this. I'm sure that the Buddhists could tell you more. I can speak to you from my experience and experience teaching it and experience doing it. So astute noticing, and that is how this is done. And I found it wildly effective. And I think, again, it's about the trying too hard. Okay. Thank you for the question. I'd love to hear ahas, openings, and all is welcome. It's like, I didn't feel anything. Neither did Sharon Salzberg. That's fine, right? Or I found it hard to go to this, or I actually felt kind of peaceful, or all is welcome. I want to have some idea of what's going on for you and what's opening for you. Let's hear from one or two of you before we go further in this practice. Carly, thank you.
I found that something I've been struggling with, lowering my blood pressure, it really helped to lower it just now doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very big deal for me right now.
Wow. Did you just?
I just measured it.
You measured it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Carly. When I say that this stuff is highly effective, I'm not kidding in the least. And I'm sure you could go out there and find the studies. I didn't need to find the studies to know the efficacy of this. And I'm so glad you actually measured. And how long did we do this for? This is a few minutes. What if you walked into that next meeting with a team member with this on your side? What if something is going wrong with health? Something is somebody you need to support. It's powerful. Anything else bubbling up wanting to be said before we go to the second half? Just that you get a chance to experience this. Even if you go back to where I stopped at for that whole year, where Marie stopped at for that week, I want you to experience it. And then you can choose after this for yourself. Anything else? Okay, so we're gonna go back in, and I just set it up. You don't have to say those words beforehand. I have done that practice in that way before, but there's not a wrong way to do it. You don't have to remember those words. It's a very simple practice, all right? And we're going to go to the neutral person and then the difficult person. Don't choose for, especially this time, first time, the person who's harmed you the most in your life. It might be, let's say you like sports and the person who won for the other team last time. You know what I mean? Like, don't make it your deepest, darkest person right now. Difficult person, somebody who cut you off in traffic today, or somebody who, you know, the grocery store clerk who was a little bit annoying. I don't know. You don't have to make it so difficult. That's one thing Sharon Salzberg did. Like, she wanted to get to the enemy, to do the really hard stuff where it really matters. This is a flawed premise. Carly did this for herself and her loved one, and her blood pressure dropped. And if we don't do it for ourselves, how could we possibly do it for the others? Like, why not make it be easy? If when we're doing this and I'm saying the neutral person and it's and then the difficult person and you feel like, oh, I'm not feeling good, go back to yourself, go back to the loved one. As I'm saying the words about the new, you can stay with the earlier version if you choose, it's fine. It's not a wrong way to do this, all right? Anything else, questions or ahas, something wanting to be said? Good? All right, so softly closing your eyes once again. Yeah, and removing your glasses is a really good idea. Our glasses take us out into the world. When we take our glasses off, it lets us go inward. The more we do this, the more we can drop into that quiet state right away. My feet already start tingling. I can feel the groundedness in my feet. And we can get that the first day. And the more we practice, the more it comes to us readily, more easily. Grounding through the feet, through the sit bones, extending up through the spine, crown of the head to the sky, opening the heart center, palms up, palms down, doesn't matter. Just feel the shoulders rolling back, the shoulders are open, the heart center open, feel ease. Exhaling out anything that doesn't serve you right now, just let it go. Breathing in loving kindness for yourself first. And then bring to mind a neutral person, someone that you feel neither love nor hate for. It's nice to pick somebody that you see regularly, that you can remind you, but doesn't have to be. Choose that first person that pops into your mind. Know that this person deserves to be happy, wants to be happy, deserves love, that deep feeling of worthiness, that they are worthy by nature of their being on this planet, that desire for worthiness, for love, connectedness is right and good. And for them, say the words of love and kindness. May you be safe. May you be peaceful, happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And just being with whatever feeling has arisen, embracing all. Your practice is perfect for you today. And then bringing to mind a difficult person, someone who's perhaps brought some difficulty into your life, not your most difficult person or hated enemy, but somebody who's brought some difficulty. If you're able today, if not, go back to an earlier person, that's fine. If you see that difficult person before you, trust that, embrace that. Know that that person who's been difficult, they want to be happy like others. They want to feel worthy. They want to be loved. And that these feelings in them are natural and right and good. And for this difficult person, we say the words of love and kindness. May you be safe. May you be peaceful, happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And we'll add one more layer. Just bringing to mind all beings everywhere at all levels on this planet and beyond, all levels of the universe. All beings everywhere deserve to be loved, to be happy, to feel worthy. These feelings are right and good. Opening up our circle larger and larger, saying these words of loving kindness for all beings everywhere. May we be safe. May we be peaceful, happy. May we be healthy. May we live with ease. And just noticing whatever feelings are in your heart center now. Noticing how your body feels. And when you're ready, softly open your eyes. I love that Carly told us about her blood pressure. Deceptively simple. Hugely powerful work. What came up for you? What did you notice in your body? What's opening for you now? Who would like to share? all everything welcome. If you loved it, you hate it, doesn't matter. It's all welcome, right? It's the practice of loving kindness. Nothing is unwelcome here. Heidi.
So I'm crying. When you, someone who has done harm, I thought of the boss who let me go because she didn't like I was using vacation time with days at a time when my son was, does he have autism, when he was a little guy. And she wasn't happy that I was taking piecemeal days instead of at a stretch at a time, and asked me when, how long will this be going on? And I, forever. And after that conversation, three months later, I was let go. And I've held that anger. And her face showed up just now. I actually had pushed her away so hard. I had even like, what was her name? What was her name? What was her face? And there she was right in front of me. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go with that. And I wished her well. And my heart opened. And I hadn't realized what a burden it had been.
Thank you, Heidi. We are carrying things we don't even know we're carrying. And it's entering into every conversation, every sleep or sleepless night that we have, every interaction with our children, our partners, our friends, our loved ones, our enemies, we're carrying that. You don't have to. And think of the power that gets released. I know you know it, Heidi. We see it here, right? What do you think your moms are carrying? What if they could even release one part of that? What energy might they have back? What energy might you receive back from one time doing this? And again, I often like to go to sales because it's one of the most tactical places you can think of in a company. If it works over there, it's going to work in the other places, team building, et cetera, right? In a conversation with a potential client and something they say, you don't even know, unconsciously reminds you of that person. Hits you the wrong way, and it won't even be anything on the surface of thing. It's going to be in the tone of your voice. And everything was going well, and suddenly they don't come to work with you, and they could have got that transformation, and they don't. And why did it happen? And then this gets released here in one time doing this. Then what might be possible for your company? Then what might be possible for your energy levels, the energy that you were leaking before, that you don't have to be leaking with one time doing it?
Well, Michelle, another piece. When I allowed myself to wish her well, the other thought that was very conscious was, how strong am I?
Mm-hmm.
That I can wish her well.
Right. Your own worthiness. Your own worthiness. And remember that I said we were going to talk about loving kindness for ourselves, that this would happen in this call, in this retreat. Like, I don't mean intellectually. I mean real. Blood pressure dropping. Completely different relationship with yourself and others in minutes in a practice. Heidi, thank you. For sharing so vulnerably. Thank you. This practice is so powerful. It's part of its, one of the, I don't know, not issues with it or challenges, is it's so deceptively simple that we then don't do it. And then Sharon Salzberg does it for a week. It's like, well, nothing's happened, whatever, you know, right? I mean, we've already seen the power here collectively. With you, Heidi, thank you. Carly's blood pressure is right in our bodies. And often I say to people, like when I'm teaching about story, this is about how we rework the inner wirings, the inner wiring inside of us of the stories that we're living. One piece, this is the center of allow. That's why I put this L in the center of allowing beautiful things to come into our lives. When we do this, everything changes. When we do this, everything changes. And when I say to people, when I'm just meeting them, it's like, we need to rewire our inner story. We're doing it right here on the spot. And then you walk into a conversation and the words you choose are just different. And it's a passing expression on your face. It's being able to embrace that person in front of you. Remember that? Embracing all. And the power and strength of who you are and what grows inside you. And doesn't it make sense anyway? If that boss were truly knowing herself and her own worthiness and her own who she is and her value in the world and were actually connected in that way, wouldn't she behave differently? Don't we actually want that for our enemies when we think even logically about it? People who are hurting hurt people. If their heart was filled with loving kindness and they had these things, they would be behaving differently. It's not up to us. We can't change them. Although changes do happen around with people around us, but it's us that we're changing and our relationship to the world. And then change does happen. But don't we actually, isn't it, when you think about it, isn't it easy? I mean, it's not always easy in the moment. I get it. But doesn't it make sense to want to wish them well from that perspective? Because when they're balanced and well, they wouldn't be doing that stuff. And neither would we. Sometimes it's ourselves. Remember that connection between ourselves and that thing that we're pushing away in them? Ah, and there it is for you, Heidi. Here's another level for you. Can I go there? That boss who said, you can't do that with your son. And how long is this going to be going on? Did you think ever inside you, in an honest moment, late at night, when nobody's listening, you ever said, how long is this going to be going on?
All the time.
Right. So people do things that we feel hurt. But when we can embrace, remember that, Sherry Huber, all that you need to do is accept all that is unacceptable to you. You just did it. You just showed us that, Heidi. Doesn't mean you condone the behavior. It doesn't mean you want her to have done that. But look what happens when we actually do that. Brilliant and beautiful. All right. Anything else bubbling up in and around this that you want to share? Other ahas? All right. If you get that this practice is powerful and could maybe make a difference for your body, for how you feel about yourself, for your interactions with other, for how your business goes, raise your hand. If we haven't got there, I'll eat my hat. Like, just, you know, thank you. Good. All right. Jot down your biggest aha. Just want to empty out the room a little bit. More I want to share. And Carly, I see you. Thumbs up. Thank you for that. Beautiful. All right, thank you. Finishing up that last sentence, taking it to a place where you can come back to it at a later time. All right. this piece around the metta meditation. There's still another piece that I want to give you today that's just life-changing. And so the thing I want to say about the metta meditation is, I hope that you will do this. Who will try tonight for 5 minutes before you go to bed? You'll sleep better. Carly's blood pressure went down. Who will try this for at least 5 minutes tonight? Thank you. We got there. Awesome. And remember something that I was saying on Tuesday too. Everything we do is designed to save you time. I'm just going to give the examples of Carly and Heidi. How much time is saved when Carly's blood pressure goes down? And we're having those, you know, responses in our body as well, even if we're not aware of it. Carly actually measured it. How crucial is that, right? And for Heidi, like, she might do 20 strategy sessions and didn't know she was carrying this. And it comes just in a look on her face. How much time has she saved? I'm just going to the tactical again, right? Everything we do is designed to save you time, to let there be more ease, to let you live a joyful life. Oh yeah, and grow your company. Making sense? All right. That was unanimous about, you'll try this tonight. And I encourage you to lean in with each other. Get on a connection call. Tell each other why you're doing it. You know, for, you could have an accountability partner. I want to do this all week because it's changing practices, right? So I want to do this all the week. Will you do this with me? I'm just going to do 5 minutes before I go to bed and, you know, see what happens. I know Sharon Salzberg thought nothing was happening. It was still happening. So, you know, you can take this up how you want, but I'm so glad you're all doing it this week. You can ask me questions about it next time we meet, you know, right? And if we're not meeting like this for a while, tag me and text me in the Facebook group. You and lean in with each other as well, right? Just when we're not meeting like this doesn't mean there isn't access to answers to questions and resources and so on. Lean in with each other, all right, as well. Okay, ready for the next piece? I hope you're like, I was so excited for you about this loving kindness retreat. Like, this is life and world and company changing, right? Next piece. All right. You're going to get this so easily because we're steeped in this knowledge and wisdom of loving kindness and how it changes life right on the spot. We're steeped in this. We get this. And then here's what we often do. We're going to speak to an audience. Next week, we'll be talking about that, our talk, right? Or we're going to speak to a potential client, or we're going to speak to a team member, whatever it is, or talk to our child or our grandparent or whoever it is, right? I'm going to use the example of speaking to Yvonne, can I use your example from 100 years ago at the beginning of this call? This is with somebody Yvonne has worked with before. And this is something that we re-remember. It's a practice. We come back to it. It's not Yvonne's first rodeo, but we get it deeper and deeper levels. And Yvonne vulnerably, thank you, shared at the beginning. Oh no, I sent them this email and they haven't answered back. And all of the, you know, the fear and all the, you know, there you could hear the pushing away too. It's like, what if they don't like it? You know, it's like at a minor level, like at a not overt level, but we could hear all that going on. And so we are steeped in this loving kindness, but then we think of even somebody she's worked with before. And it's like, oh no, they're probably not going to like me. Oh no, they probably won't hear me. Oh no, they, you know, and we're in front of an audience. Oh no, they won't like what I say. Oh no, maybe they won't relate to this example. Oh no, separation, 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 you know, fear, right? It could be Jonathan, thank you for that vulnerable share earlier. I'm going to go talk to that person. Oh no, they probably won't like what I say. Don't we envision them as separate from us, as challenging, as something, as separation, as something bad is going to happen, as fear, as, isn't that often what we do accidentally? Isn't that funny? If you can think of one instance where you did that with a child, a partner, a potential client, a team member, raise your hand even once in your life. You kind of push that. Thank you. That's unanimous. Dawn's even laughing about it. She's like, you know, the psychology work that I do. Are you kidding me? You know, of course, right? So what if we could do something different than that? What if we could apply all that we've been understanding and learning and experiencing about loving kindness and envision a different world? And here, let's see, will the title resonate right now? Let me see what I called it. because sometimes we're just at a different place, right? Yeah, it almost sounds too tactical now, but part three, discovering your ideal listener. I have two subtitles again, The Art of Being Heard, or Discovering Your Ideal Listener, How Love Creates Trust, Attention, and Ease. You can choose either one, all that's gonna happen and so much more. So instead of envisioning the most difficult person, the person that I'm separate from, like inactive, like we're giving a talk to an audience of the pale green pants before we get to know them, right? To go back to Dr. Seuss, isn't it weird how we do that? What if we envisioned something different? What if we came from connection instead? And you know how we were sending out that loving kindness to ourselves, to the loved one, to the neutral person, to the enemy, to all beings everywhere? What if instead of envisioning the audience as the pale green pants before we get to know them, what if we envisioned them as doing the same thing to us, toward us? When we're sending it out, isn't that, you know, the mirror, the universe is this big mirror, isn't it? Do you ever experience the world that way? I'm mad at you, you know? Or the way that it diffused tension between those ex-partners when they now you can understand why that happened, right? Sent loving kindness, sent loving kindness, was doing this practice, and all he did was walk in and he goes like, what's changed? And the barriers were down. And that other guy hadn't done anything. So your ideal listener. Part of loving kindness is to envision who is that person. And Marnie, I know, I hope you're still here or you're getting on the recording. I was thinking about Marnie, like as an author. Oh, it's okay if you have to go. Like, I know, whenever you have to have a camera on or camera off, but thinking about Marnie as an author, right? Sometimes we envision our readership as that, like, oh no, they probably won't like my book, you know? What if we envision them as embracing it, as hearing us the way that we've just sent out energy to those people? What if we envision that? What if this person in front of us was our ideal listener, that they came from love, that they're going to see the beauty in me, that they're going to be able to listen to me in those deep, deep ways? Like if Heidi could see her boss like that and embrace her like that, couldn't Heidi imagine that when she goes to speak, that somebody is embracing her, not even like the difficult person, but like her loved one? So I want to share with you, this is from drawing from many different sources here, right? But weaving together the story of love and kindness today. This is from a writing teacher named Halzina Bennett from a book called Write from the Heart. Oh goodness, I'm in the sun right now. I just realized I really should close my curtains. You guys can't see me very well. Oh well, I'm not going to pause to close the curtains right now. Maybe I will if we take another little extra break, but I want to keep going. I want to use all our time well. So I forgot about how the light comes in here at this time of day. All right. So envisioning your ideal, he has an exercise on envisioning your ideal. He's talking to writers, your reader. And he said he did an exercise. He's like envisioning who that person is that, you know, if you're a writer, they're just lapping up every word. If you're a speaker, they're in the audience. They're just hanging on every word. They just know you and love you and are just can't wait to hear everything you have to say. Make sense? So I gave this exercise as a 20-minute writing exercise to his client, his students. And he said, one guy finished in 10 minutes. Obviously he didn't get it. You know? Did you not hear? Do the exercise. He hadn't done much. But he says, how wrong I was. And he said, this guy who was envisioning his ideal listener, this is what he wrote in response to this. It's like envision the person who really listens to you. So this the guy in his class, Gil, he sat back and in a slow, quiet voice, read his description of his imaginary reader. What if we envisioned the best? He told briefly of growing up on a farm in Texas. His family was Mexican-American, and they worked the big farms all over the United States. But mostly they were based on this large farm in Texas. He told about his tío Juan, his uncle Juan, with whom he had a very special relationship. He described one day out in the field on the tractor with him, actually thinking of a real person in his life who really listens in that way. We send out that loving kindness, imagine it coming back to us. Think of a real person. If you can't think of one, imagine one. But this is what he came up with. I think it's such a great model. I want to share it with you. One day out in the field on the tractor with him, it was a big tractor, one of the giant John Deere's they use for plowing and pulling harrows to prepare the soil for planting. Gil was a little boy then, about 7 or 8, and he was leaning against the fender as his uncle drove the tractor. Can you see it? Small boy, actually being listened to. What if we envisioned our audiences like that? So that loving kindness comes back to us and that our interactions come from that place. So this is what Gil wrote. You can close your eyes for this if you want. Ideal listener. My TO1 is my good listener. He takes his time and moves his soft brown eyes in my direction, tilting his head over to listen to me. We're on his tractor plowing a cornfield, and he stops the old John Deere to hear what I'm saying. He gives me his full grown-up attention. Taking off his straw hat, he wipes his wide, sweaty brow with the back of his hand. His eyes wrinkle up as he gives me a generous smile. This big gentleman makes me feel completely safe. So I proceed to tell him just anything. He runs his fingers through his thinning hair. The hot Texas sun makes him squint, so he puts his well-worn hat back on. My sharing makes him laugh, like a kid himself. And then he says, no, viejo, no tengas cuidado, yo te lo doy. As he finishes reading the piece to us, Gil explained he always called me old man, viejo, a kind of tender term of endearment and respect. I don't know why. He always said I knew more than any child should know. When Gil wrote, he wrote to his memory of TO1. He wrote in gratitude for the love. For the love and respect this gentle, caring man gave the little child so many years before. A tenderness and warmth in his writing. A tenderness and warmth in his writing touched the reader's soul so delicately and subtly, like a knowing look between lovers across a room, or maybe like a man stopping a big tractor in the middle of a hot Texas cornfield to hear what a child had to say. Open your eyes. That one got me for a moment because it's my parents that flashed into my mind. Both my mom and my dad. Beautiful listeners, each in their own way. Often I think of my daughter in this as well. She's listened to me so closely. Who is your ideal listener? That loving kindness that we send out to the world, I want you to envision it coming back to you in the form of your ideal listener. Close your eyes just for a moment. I know some of you are writing. Stop whatever you're writing. It's okay. It will come back to you. Close your eyes in this moment. And I want you to envision your ideal listener. Somebody who gives you that full attention, like his TO1. Might be somebody from your childhood. Maybe it was a grandparent. Maybe it was the one who owned the corner store across the street. I don't know. Trust that person who's come to your mind. If someone has come to your mind, nod your head. Yeah, good. Okay. If someone has not come to your mind, that's okay too. You can make them up, right? And then it's going to be your homework to find that person, real or imaginary. Now you've got that person in your mind. Bring them closer to you. See them. Your eyes still closed. See them. Let them be in full color before you. Where are you together? What are they wearing? What does the air smell like around you? Pick one piece about them. The color of their shirt, the way they're smiling, any one thing about them. And begin to write about them. Just trust what comes. Just keep to the pen to the page. Just write. You don't have to share it with anybody. You're just going to write. You could start out, my good listener is standing before me. However you want to start, then start with that one piece. We'll write for just 3 minutes. Keep the pen to the page. Keep it moving no matter what. Just write, my good listener. Write about them. And finishing up the last sentence, taking it to a place where you can come back to it at a later time. All right. What's opening for you now? What opened in this experience of writing for you? Who would like to share? Who would like to share first? So we'll see what was going on for you. And again, all experiences welcome. That is the practice of loving kindness, isn't it? Open, open, open. You say you love the exercise, you hated it. I'm all good, you know? Something opened for you, something didn't. Who would like to share? It's all welcome. Marnie, thank you.
Hear me above the wind here. So my ideal listener is my mom, and a couple things struck me was, since she passed, I don't know that I've had anyone who could hear me in the way that she did. But when I write, I often read it to her first, so that I envision her listening to it. And I know that, you know, I'm going to hear the truth of what it is that I've written through her eyes.
Marnie, I've got chills when you say that. Can you hear the power of how Marnie can write and what can go onto the page when that's her listener? Thank you for that beautiful example of how this works. Yeah. Who would like to share next? What else do you want to share? What are your ahas from this exercise? Yeah, Heidi.
My ideal listener surprised me, my choice. I if you had asked me, I probably would have said my mother. The person who showed up for me in that was my grandfather, my mother's father. And it was back to when I was a little girl, and my memory of his visits and how excited we were and how happy he was to be with me. And he would always wear a suit. And when he would come, with shopping bags full of food for us. And we're all excited, and we would see, this was in Brooklyn, and he would take the bus, and we would see from blocks away, oh, is that grandpa walking down the street? And we would wait, my brother and I, oh, is that, and watch him approach with the bags. And we would, he would sit in a, he would come to us, his grandchildren, in a suit and tie. He was dressed up to be with us. And he would come into the living room and sit in a certain chair. And I would sit on his lap, and he would tell me that I was his girlfriend, and he wanted to hear everything I had to say. And no matter what he said, whatever, no matter what I said, it was wonderful. And he wanted to know every detail, and it was just so wonderful. And he thought I was the best and the smartest and the prettiest and the best child in the world. And he'd give me a dollar, don't tell your mother. And, you know, and it was just this glorious visit with him. And when I was older, my mother mentioned off the cuff, you have his eyes.
Mm.
Because my eyes are his color, not my, I look like my mother, but I have his color eyes. And I always thought, oh, that's wonderful. I have grandpa's eyes. So he was who I wrote about just now.
Heidi, so beautiful. So beautiful. And you know, were you, did you look at Heidi as she was saying that? Like, you look like either you just went away for a month-long vacation, or you lost 10 years or something. Like, did you see that? That is the
power. I was 5 years old.
Right. So old. That's the power of your ideal listener.
Mm.
That's the power of your ideal listener. So this is like the flip side of the loving kindness meditation. Do you get that? We send it out to the world. And we saw with Heidi the transformation of that with the boss before and so on, right? And then we transform how we see those around us. And it's natural to us, because if that's what we're sending out into the world, it just becomes natural that that's what's being sent back to us. And instead of coming into an audience and envisioning, oh no, will they like this, and all that head stuff that happens, right? Will I say the right thing? And oh, and then sometimes it's ego, and what will they think of me, et cetera, et cetera. Actually, really, Heidi walks in, remembers her grandfather and how that, she could close her eyes for a couple minutes before she walked, a minute, 30 seconds, a breath before she walks onto stage. Isn't that gonna go differently for her? When she speaks to him, and not just theoretically, but she's got him in her cells, it's in her bones. Loving kindness back to us in the people around us. Thank you, Heidi, beautiful. And then, you know, we can do this, like when, and Jonathan, can I go back to your example 100 years ago earlier on the call? Thank you. So when Jonathan goes to, at first he could have, like, think of the different company that Jonathan ends up building and the different relationships that happen. When the I want to say normal thing in our culture is normal, but not natural to, I think it's natural for us to love, but we are acculturated to something weird that is called normal, that's not normal. But the normal thing to do, or what often people would do, is like, well, that's your fault and you've done it wrong, and push away, and then all this stuff. And then I'll make me big by making you wrong, and I'll build a team and you're against us. And then we build a war. And instead, Jonathan earlier on was already saying, well, what if I talk to her? And I said, remember, we're going to circle around and come back to this later on, right? Well, what if Jonathan remembers his, like Heidi just did so beautifully, right? We heard that so with such detail about your grandfather, right? What if Jonathan remembers his ideal listener and goes into that conversation with any of that energy, instead of expecting battle, remembering that? And that, when we pair it up with the loving kindness, like, well, maybe that's going to be, you know, and again, maybe all this conversation is happening today, but this also happens for today. And then as a practice, immediate things can happen, like we saw with Heidi, like we saw with Carly, right? And then also as a practice, and he walks into that meeting. And what a different meeting that is, because maybe he's been sending her loving kindness the whole time. not to do something like, I'm going to send you love and kindness so you're nicer to me. That doesn't work like that. That's not what I'm saying. But just as a different energy and different things happen. And we, and one of the stories that I like to tell about this is, you know, we change even one of the conditions and things change. There's a story about a psychologist working with, think of you, Don, right? A psychologist working with a couple who were fighting. It was really, really awful. They always had the same argument over and over and over again. So the psychologist, this is how the story goes. Anyway, this psychologist said, go ahead, you can keep having that argument all day long, but you have to have it in the bathtub. In the bathroom, you have to sit in the bathtub and you have to sit, you know, on the toilet, and you have to wear these funny hats. Go ahead, have the argument. You change one thing. How are they going to have the same argument? Go ahead. You can have the very same argument. Go ahead. That's even just changing a silly thing. What if we change even from the loving kindness meditation on the one hand, the envisioning of who that person is on the other hand? Isn't that going to change the way that conversation goes? How could it not? Even before we're crafting things, making a script, envisioning what's going to happen, it's happening at the root. Making sense? If Heidi ran, like to go back to Heidi, if Heidi, going back to the other piece that you shared, Heidi, if Heidi ran into that old boss after today instead of yesterday, how might that encounter be different? From once. Thank you. Beautiful. All right. Anything else wanting to be shared about your ideal listener? Is there anyone who's going like, I don't have anybody like that in my life? It's okay. That's happened before in the community. And you're not alone. Anybody that's like, this didn't work at all, it's all right. That's part of that. Embracing all. There's nothing out of bounds. Everyone found somebody? Diane, it was hard for you to find somebody? Thank you for raising your hand. Others will know they're not alone.
Well, the first thing I could think of was all the people that, a lot of my friends, it's like I'll start to share and they'll talk over me or they'll change the topic. And then I thought of a friend that I haven't been able to visit with because of COVID for a long time. So it's like 2 years kind of since we've had a nice conversation. And she finally came to mind because she would stop. She would pay attention to me. She would listen to me. She would comment. And I find I tend to be the one who's asking all the questions. So I just found the exercise really quite interesting. And am I really listening the way that I want other people to listen to me? Or am I setting across maybe an unworthiness to be listened to?
This is so rich. Can you hear this? Oh, life-changing for you and your company, Diane. This is such an important investigation because... can you all hear the, and thank you for sharing so vulnerably, like the exasperation too in Diane's voice is like, you just changed the topic. They don't really, and if you have ever once in your life not felt heard by anyone, raise your hand even once, like you're not alone, right? Yes. And so if we have not felt heard even once, and then I'll take it to a strategy session or, you know, when we're talking to a potential client, and we bring that energy, like, I've not been heard. Then for one thing, it's going to be harder for us to listen because we're going to want to be heard. We're going to want that person to hear us. And then there's also going to be, well, when I'm going to give the offer, you know, will they hear me? And all that stuff in the way. So this, both the loving kindness meditation and then the meta meditation, and then this practice of finding this ideal listener, I've had people burst into tears when I've taught this before. Because it's like, you know, you have more balance in and around this. Yvonne, you've been in the room, probably you've seen that happen, you know, and they'll go like, I really didn't even realize it, but I've felt like I've never really been listened to. Even the noticing of that, the depth of that, and then that's the starting to transform that. And you see how all the pieces of what we do, they're all connected. Connect this, what we do with a high ticket virtual retreat, teaching how with ethics and integrity and out of deep service to make a high level offer and have it be received, and how this piece fits hand in glove with that, for instance, right? And then how owning our own stories, like all these pieces fit together. They all work together synergistically. And then if you go, oh, but there's a piece in October that I haven't got yet, don't come from that scarcity, right? Go deep into any one piece that we're doing. Any one piece. What if Carly just did that loving kindness meditation and her blood pressure lowered, right? Oh no, I don't have the piece from September 23rd. Look, do this, do the piece that we're doing and do it deeply. And then there's an accumulation effect. And like Carly, I know Carly knows, for instance, right? Not her first rodeo, the accumulative effect of that. So Diane, thank you so much for that vulnerability. Thank you for sharing that. And then you want to know and really get that experience of really being listened to. I would be on a connection call with somebody in this community. Are you kidding me? This is such a heart-centered community. Everybody has had this training. I would get on a connection call, lickety-split, and recall this and say, I've not always felt listened to. Would you help me find my ideal listener? Would you listen to me just for a moment? I promise I will listen to you too. Can you imagine how transformative that conversation would be? And how much desire there's going to be for in Diane, both to listen and be listened to. I'd want to be on that call with her. So like, I'd be Reese, you know, there you go. Already Heidi says, would love to get on a call with you, Diane. Done. Okay. Thank you for sharing. This is crucial. Without this piece, I don't know how to build a company. I mean, maybe there's a shark way to do it. Maybe there's a push hard and make it really work. Maybe it's like do 10 times the conversations or 50 times. Like, why not let it be easy? This is crucial. Thank you for that. And everyone here has not been heard at least once. I'd be very surprised if there was anybody here who said, oh, it's only once that I've not been heard. The rest of my life, I'm always heard. I'd be shocked if there's somebody in the room who said that. Thank you. Anything else bubbling up wanting to be said? Okay, jot down your biggest aha. All right, thank you. Finishing up that last sentence, taking it actually to a place where you can come back to it at a later time. That'd be a great thing to do. What other ahas are there for you here? Lots moving here, right? Still more I want to share with you. I would ask you if you think this is useful, but it would be disingenuous of me. I'm seeing it on your faces, right? I don't need to ask. And again, and if you're not feeling that, if it's not landing for you yet, there's always the recording. You can lean in with somebody else in this community. This is a heart-centered community. It's like, Michelle was talking that stuff and I didn't get any of it. Lean in with the community. Somebody will help you for what it means for you, right? There's not a wrong place to be here. Okay. All right, so finishing up that last sentence. All right. I wanted to give you, so if you understood both the importance of that ideal listener and the tangible effects that it could have on your company and your life, raise your hand. Did we get there? All right. Fantastic. Okay. And if you didn't, thank you, Carly. I see you too. Thank you. If you didn't, I can't tell for two of you. Everyone else, hands went up right away. If not for you, lean in with the community because somebody will be there to help you with it. All right. Because you'll get it at different levels. Like somebody will really get one piece and another person won't. Help you, you can help each other. So I want to give you one more piece about ideal listener. Because sometimes we mistake ideal client. If you've heard that phrase ideal client before, raise your hand. Probably everybody here. If you haven't, that's okay. Ideal client, who's that person that you really ought to work with? I want to tell you that your ideal listener is sometimes your ideal client, but not always. Sometimes my ideal client will function as my ideal listener, but not always. ideal client, that person that I'm just designed to work for, that I can help. We talk about that in different parts of the year, right? If I need my ideal client to be my ideal listener, and thank you, Diane, for this. We all here have at some point not felt heard. If I need them to be my ideal listener because I don't feel heard, it's like a psychological need in me, I will feel hurt when I can't be heard. I won't say the hard things for fear that they won't listen, that they won't hear me. Somebody will say, maybe it's in a strategy session and somebody is only skirting along the surface of things, and I won't want to go to that deeper level with them in case they don't like me or hear me. And we need to go to what's really going on, right? And I won't be able to hear what they have to say because in my need to be heard. So that's another layer of why finding that ideal listener is so important. In this exercise, we did it for a few minutes. I would spend 20 minutes, like, flesh out who that ideal listener is for you. Get on a connection call. And the way Heidi did here, you know, described who that person, you know, who her grandfather was in such detail. Do that with each other so they become real and embodied and you know them and somebody's heard you in that. It's a great thing to do, all right? There's another way to think about ideal client and ideal listener. If they were always my ideal listener, they probably don't need the work because they already get it, right? They already get all the pieces of it, you know, and maybe they already know it, but they don't know it at the depth of it, right? So sometimes they are the people that can really hear me. If there's somebody out in the field going like, why are you talking about, for instance, my non-ideal client, once we're inside the party, why are you talking about loving kindness? Like, help me grow my company, Michelle, duh. That's not my ideal client, right? So if they're that far out, they're not it. But if you came in the first day, if when we first met, I said, hey, I'm going to teach you about loving kindness. You'd go, that's okay, right? Because we haven't got there yet. It's fine. You wouldn't be able to hear that yet until there's a context, right? And let me see. There's one last piece that I want to share with you. When I know my own ideal listener and I have them inside me, and again, we saw that so deeply in Heidi, like she, it's like she lost 10 years as she described in detail her grandfather, right? When, and so he's from long ago, right? But he's still inside her. So then think of the confidence that that brings. When Heidi is being that confidence because she knows that he's there, then she can listen more to what others are saying. She can be more patient with what they're saying because she knows that eventually they'll hear. She'll not have to push to get her message across. She won't feel the separation when they say something that she doesn't expect, that feels that, like, all of a sudden that anger pops up or that hatred or that pushing away. She has that moment, but she remembers, oh, but my grandfather heard me. It's like this unconsciously even, right? We drop the neediness. And then we can actually listen. When we have our ideal listener, we can also listen to others. And Jonathan, I hope you don't mind if I mention this. It's one of the things that you said that brought you here. You listened, right? It's not the first time I've heard this. You told me this, but many have said that. And how do we, Dawn, right? I see you smiling. You said that, right? How does that happen? Well, first we need to have felt listened to, the ideal listener. Then we won't have to push. Then we can hold a space and we work on that. You know, we play with that further in other parts of the year. But this is the deep power of that loving kindness going out to others, that loving kindness feeling back to us, the antidote to that fear. If everything we want is on the other side of fear, like way back at the beginning of this call, and we have the antidote, we have the keys to the kingdom, how much easier things can go for us at every level of our company, at every level of our lives. Jot down your biggest aha. Ideal listener versus ideal client. So you don't have expectations of them. You know, you didn't hear me. You're supposed to be my ideal listener. You know? All right, thank you. Oh, and I just saw that Yvonne. Marnie, do you have a question? Yeah, go ahead. Thank you for saying it, Yvonne.
What do you do when you have the person is not listening? Is there a way of getting them to listen, or is it a matter of you recognizing they're not listening and moving on?
Well, from there's different ways that we approach that throughout the year. There's many, many answers to that. But from the perspective of what we're learning today, let's say my difficult person is the person who's not listening. Like the person I imagine is the person who's not listening, right? So I envision the difficult person in my life. And actually, you know what? I'm gonna use a very concrete example. I'm gonna use my ex. All right. Did we always listen to each other? No. Right? Did he always listen to me? No. Right. And years ago, I was practicing loving kindness, the loving kindness meditation. And like I said, he was my difficult person, right? And he was not always listening from my perspective, right? Well, when I do this practice over and over and over again, it changes the nature of that interaction. So this is kind of like the deep rooted, this is not necessarily in the moment, but this is the deep level change that happens. And, oh goodness, I want to tell so many stories about this, but so the loving kindness practice itself helps to transform that, because you will walk into that differently and see them differently, even when they're not listening. Remember that embracing all, when they're not listening, it can kick up all kinds of stuff in us. Oh, they must think I'm not worthy. I feel not worthy. Oh, they remind me of this other person who didn't listen in that bad situation. Oh, I'm afraid that that's going to happen again. Kick up, right? When we've unplugged those things, then they're not listening, and they're just not listening, and we're not so attached to it anymore. And that already is going to change the interaction. That's the first thing. The second thing is, when we have the power of that ideal listener, so I'm connecting with what we've just learned, right? That ideal listener inside of us, and then that person is not listening. Again, we're unhooked from that, because we don't need them to listen to create our own confidence, to create our own worthiness, and so on. And then if they're not listening to me, it depends what's going on beyond the scope of where I want to go. And go ahead and post a follow-up question if you want to, Marnie, but it depends on what's going on. Maybe they're not listening because I haven't heard something and I actually need to listen better. Maybe they're not listening because they're not my ideal client and I need to end the conversation. And it's like, hey, go work with that other person. Maybe they're not listening because they don't have the capacity to listen, but they're close and they actually need the work. Maybe they're not listening because they're a team member and they've got something going on that's big that I haven't paid attention to, and I need more loving kindness for all. Multiple different answers to that. It's very situational. But what I want to underline is the very tools that we're learning today, not to mention through the rest of the year, give us access to the root of transforming that situation so that we have a larger scope of what's going on. And so one of the things that's not going to happen is I'm not going to have to leap in with my words. Didn't you hear me? Because blah, 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 blah. That's how it works out there in the world. That person's not listening to me, but they're saying something probably that's telling me they're not listening. And I can just turn and listen to them for a minute and say, so what you're saying to me is this, you know? Maybe, but I would do different things depending on the context, beyond the scope of what we're going to do today. If they're not hearing me, let me see. It might be that I've put up a barrier between myself and them because I've envisioned them as the enemy in some subtle way. When I deeply remember how I get listened to, how I'm speaking, it may shift in very subtle ways, and now they can hear me. So that's from the tools of today, many other tools. Repost a question, Marnie, but at least does it give you at least something to start with? Okay, really good, really good. All right. I want to teach you one more thing. Do you still have ears to hear? See, like some of you might hear me and some of you may not today. And with love, I don't care, right? I hope you hear, but if you don't hear, I know that this is an amazing community. I know this is not the only time. See, like, because I'm used to you, I have ingrained in me my own ideal listener. And I know that some of you will hear and then you'll help each other. And so like, Do you get what I'm saying? All this is embraced by loving kindness. So I'm not worried about whether you hear me or not, because I know we'll get there eventually. And you hear how that it's right in response to your question too about the listening learning. All right. Yeah, thanks, Dawn, got it. So I just want to share with you a poem. Just going to wrap up with a poem. And another layer of how we create that ideal listener, because the ideal listener aren't like, again, if you think of the details that Heidi gave us, you know, wasn't her grandfather seeing the beauty in her? That's what she said even, right? Our ideal listener sees the beauty in us. We, when we're doing the loving kindness meditation, see the beauty in that other person, right? One way to step even further back to the 8,000 foot view, where that ideal listener is seeing the beauty in us, we're seeing the beauty in them as we're doing the loving kindness meditation. Practice noticing beauty around you. We can have it in the ideal listener. We can have it in the enemy. We can have it in all those people. Got it, Teresa. But we can also notice it in our world. When we do that, it sets a context for all of this. I see the person that's, and just to wrap it right back around to where we started, I see the person who cuts me off in traffic. I say, may you be safe. May you be peaceful, happy. I do that every single time. I don't think I do it every single time, but mostly that's my unconscious habitual reaction from many years of cultivating that. And aren't I automatically seeing the beauty in them? Because like I'm thinking, oh, maybe they are in a rush, you know? Maybe they've had a hard day. I'm wired differently. If I can see the beauty in a person that's cutting me off in traffic, can't I see it in like in a snowflake or in a garden or in the sunset or in a child's smile or in a grandfather looking down at a small grandchild or in an uncle by a tractor? And it's like, beauty? What? I thought I'm building a company. Then I'm going to see it in what that team member has done. Then I'm going to see it in their smile. Then I'm going to see it in their challenge. Then I'm going to see it. So just notice that that's the larger context for this too. Notice beauty. And I just wanted to share with you as we come to our close, a poem about beauty by Galway Kinnell. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. I'll just forget how to pronounce his name. Because when we see the beauty in something, we bring back its loveliness. Isn't that what our ideal listener is doing for us? Isn't that what Heidi was doing for that boss and for herself in the process? And to me, this is our life changing, but world changing as well. Clearly, obviously, then spin-off effect, company changing. And close your eyes for this if you want. It's called, is that the name of the poem here? I can't think of the first part of it, but it's a poem about a sow. It's about a pig. The bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower, for everything flowers from within of self-blessing. Though sometimes it's necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on its brow, the flower, and retell it in words and in touch, it is lovely. Until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. As Saint Francis put his hand on the creased forehead of the sow and told her in words and in touch blessings of earth and on the sow, and the sow began remembering all down her thick length from the earthen snout all the way through the fodder and slops to the spiritual curl of the tail, from the hard spininess spiked out from the spine, down through the great broken heart, to the sheer blue milk and dreaminess spurting and shuddering from the 14 teats into the 14 mouths sucking and blowing beneath them, the long, perfect loveliness of the sow. Softly open your eyes when you're ready. You might have heard many different things in this poem. Some of you are smiling. It's like, wow, if Saint Francis can see loveliness in a sow, you know, and reteach a thing its loveliness by seeing its beauty? Isn't that what's happened as Diane starts to go, what if I could be listened to? What if I could listen better? What if I can re-remember my own worthiness, my own loveliness in the words of the meditation, in the remembering of my ideal listener? What if I built my company? Remember I said we'd talk about a standout company, but I wouldn't really explicitly talk about it? Aren't these the qualities of a truly standout company that go far beyond and impact branding, logo, all that stuff that we think of as forming our company? This is the foundation of the companies we build. This is the foundation for our lives, as far as I'm concerned. It's a foundation of listening. It's a foundation of connection. And companies, as we talked about in a different context on Tuesday, it's all about real relationships with real people. And isn't this the foundation of that and so much more? What if we could unhook from the fear, from the hatred, from the yearning for the worthiness that we think we don't have, and instead reteach ourselves our own loveliness in the eyes of our ideal listener, and then share that with the person that we listen to, who maybe we can help? We share that listening then, reteaching that to them, and in the practice of the loving kindness meditation, where we see the beauty, don't we see the beauty of the world? Hooking it back onto beauty in a very different way when we can send loving kindness to the enemy? What if our world were based on this? What different world would be built? But don't leave it at that lofty level. What if when Jonathan goes into that meeting with his former team member, what if he brought even one piece of it to that conversation? How might it go differently? What if Carly's blood pressure dropped? So she has a little more energy and a little more healing, just a little bit faster from 5 minutes of a meditation or less. All right. Thank you for playing so full out at our loving kindness retreat. I hope that word means different things to you now than it did before we started. I hope that you will practice both of these things and take it further. Think of this as not the thing itself, but as the springboard for what you're going to do this week. And then when you think about, because next week is, why should I even have a talk? How's that going to help me? And what would it, what's in it anyway? Bring this foundation to that. I want to talk to two people. How does it happen? What should I say to them so that I can help them and build my company? Do you see how this all works together? That's what we're doing next week, all right? You can, and it all fits together. Don't think you have to ask a question about a talk because we're talking about talks. It could be something from this, something from Tuesday, either half of it, something that's coming up for you in your company, in your personal world. Clearly, they're all connected. What's happening? How, what's happening in Heidi's personal world about that boss clearly impacts her company. What's happening when Diane's friends are listening or not listening is impacting how she goes into that strategy session or even her believing or knowing that she can do that. Thank you for bringing that here, Diane. Fantastic work. Everyone here, you've participated so full out. Marnie, I love where you're sitting. You know, Yvonne, I love your story way back when about the email. It's all in how we read an email. It's right there, right? Carly, thank you for being here throughout, video on, video off. Wow, amazing. And for all those listening to the recording afterwards, or if you need to leave right on the on the top of the hour, thank you for being here. You guys are amazing. I love and adore you truly from the bottom of my heart. You're outstanding, outstanding souls. What an amazing community. Thank you for all you brought to this call. This is my favorite loving kindness retreat and work ever. And Yvonne, you've been there for many years. You know, we've been to outstanding places before, and I don't say it if I don't mean it. Thank you for all you've brought to this call today. Outstanding work. All right. If you need to leave right now, as always, go ahead. And I suggest you post an aha and an inspired action in our Facebook group. It's a really great thing to do. It carries on the conversation there. Remember, that's like our coffee pot or where we gather around to chat, right? And you can use it as much or as little as you want. So if you need to go now, no problem, go. It'll be there for you in the recordings. Don't think, oh no, I missed it. If you want to hear the recording, it'll be there for you afterwards. And for those who can stay, even if it's just one of you, one aha, one inspired action. I love hearing Your ahas.
Thank you, folks. I gotta run.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. We'll see you next week. Thank you. Thank you so much. All best with the conversation. And one aha, one inspired action. I love this part because I love hearing what you heard. And maybe Marnie's biggest opening will be what Diane said, and Diane's will be what Heidi said, and Heidi will be what Yvonne said, and vice versa. Did I miss someone? If I did, don't take it personally. I can't remember what the circle went. Yours will be somebody else's. You know what I'm saying? Diane, you'll be in my, you're in my upper left-hand corner. You're up first. One aha, one inspired action to bring us home.
Oh my goodness, there are so many. I think one of the biggest ahas had to do with the ideal listener,
yeah,
and realizing that I believe that I'm not important enough to be listened to.
Wow. Thank you for noticing. It's so not true. It's so the voice of the editor. And in sussing that out, that is a step to freedom. And you already have a loving, listening soul who's raised her hand in the chat. I don't always see the chat. You're going to be on a call with Heidi. I know you're going to be deeply listened to. Let's shift to that here and now. It's already shifting. Thank you for noticing. Thank you for having the courage to say it. Do you know that everybody in this room heard every nuance of what you just said? Thank you. Your inspired action.
Well, contacting, getting in touch with Heidi, and Dawn had reached out, and now Marnie too, so.
Like I say, everything you need is in this community, right? What an amazing, loving, incredible, talented, beautiful community. I love you guys individually, every one of you. I love the community. Like, wow, I'm so proud of you all. Proud of you for the vulnerability, Diane. Proud of all of you. It's like a chorus of people reaching out. Fantastic. Thank you. Yvonne, you're up next.
Me?
Just as you're, just as you're like, it's always like, oh, I just took that bite, you know?
Yeah, I just took the bite and I was chewing. And so I thought you said my name, but I wasn't 100% sure. Embrace the fear.
Yeah. I love that we got that so tangibly. It's not just words on this call. We watched it happening in real time here. Thank you. Your inspired action.
Meta meditation today.
Thank you for reminding us all. It's so powerful. So powerful. Thank you. Marnie, you're up next.
So when I was writing the piece about the ideal listener, and I was writing about my mom, my last statement that I wrote was, she had no agenda other than love and kindness. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, I realized that, you know, I've been trying to emulate, and that's what I want in my business, is love and kindness. And so that was, you know, really powerful to realize that is the ideal I've been looking for.
Oh, so beautiful. Thank you, Marnie. Love it.
And my inspired action is to go for a walk and meditation.
Enough said.
Obvious. We're down there.
So happy for you.
I had to rub it in.
And you did it. You did it. You got yourself there after 2 years. Fantastic. So happy for you. Thank you, Marnie. Heidi, last but not least.
I was very moved by the reteach a thing its loveliness. Mm-hmm. That touched me. And it struck me that that was the path out of fear. Mm-hmm. Was to do that. And my inspired action is inspired by Diane. My inspired action is to listen better.
Mm.
Thank you, Diane. I needed that lesson.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Fabulous, fabulous work, everybody. Outstanding call. If you heard like 1/100th of what I heard, like, is life-changing for you. So I have learned this at a deeper level, and I've been teaching this for years and years and years, and that's you playing at this level. So thank you so much. Have a fantastic, fantastic week, everybody. We'll see you for the bonus call. Remember, call next Thursday. It was only got to the schedule on Tuesday. So call next Thursday, 12:30 Mountain Time. Why do I need to talk anyway? And what's supposed to go in it to prepare us so that you can make the use, you know, direct work on what you're doing at our half day retreat the following week. All right. So have a great, great, great week, everybody. Thank you for an outstanding call, and we'll see you next time. Bye bye for now. Everyone.